The time is now 4:01 PM. The Warwick Finance Committee for May 22nd, 2023 is now in session. First on the agenda is PCR 5823, resolution relative to transfer supplement appropriations and emergency appropriations. I respectfully make a motion to move to public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I apologize. Before we vote, any questions from members of the committee? I don't do that. Right, that's what I'm saying. Okay. That's what this meant. Item number two is PCR 57-23, resolution adopting the budget and resetting the tax rates of the City of Warwick for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2023 and ending July 30th, 2024. Make a motion to move to public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The time is now 4:02 and the Finance Committee is adjourned.
Good evening, everyone. I call the May 22nd, 2023 council meeting to order. The clerk will call the roll. Here.
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 Thank you. Councilman Howe, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the hope of
Good afternoon, everyone. I just wanted to highlight how this budget process is going to proceed this evening. So if you have your agenda at home, we will go through each department in the order that is listed. Members of the council can ask questions and members of the public can ask questions. We have the administration here to answer any questions presented. And then we will move on. Once that department is finished, we will move on to the next department and then the same process will continue. So this evening, there will be no votes, no amendments being made, no proposals. This is just the public hearing on both PCR 5723 and PCR 5823. We are also going to shoot, this is a long agenda, so we are going to shoot for a break around 7:30 this evening. We will finish the item that we were on. We won't stop in the middle of something, but we will finish on the item that we were on, and then we'll look to take a half an hour break around 7:30 this evening, and then we will return and pick up on the agenda where we left off. So that is the process this evening. I look forward to hearing from everyone. And at this time, I'd like to open the public hearing. So for committee report, finance.
Favorable action on both items for public hearing, Mr. President.
Motion has been made to open the public hearing, second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor of starting the public hearing, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any objections? Okay. At this time, I would like to introduce Mayor Frank Picozzi to introduce his budget.
President McAllister, members of the Honorable City Council. This budget being presented today to the council proposes an increase in municipal expenses of $5 million or 3% over the budget adopted for the current year. After review of the school budget needs, we also propose a $3.8 million increase or 2.8% in the city appropriation. With additional state aid, the school budget is up 4% in fiduciary year 24, representing growth of $7.1 million. To support this budget, the property tax levy on residents and businesses will increase by 2.9%. However, with economic growth from new investments in our city, the net increase on existing properties will amount to 2.4%. During the difficult economic conditions and financial challenges of the pandemic and historically high inflation, working together with the council, we have been able to hold the line on taxes. As you know, there has not been a tax increase in 3 years. To accomplish this, we benefited from an infusion of federal revenues allocated through the American Rescue Plan. This outside funding has generated a structural deficit. In this budget, we addressed this issue and have not relied on any federal assistance to meet our recurring city expenses. In addition, our fund balance is healthy and now stands in excess of $30 million. This, along with economic growth, which is occurring in the city, will enable us to ease property tax burdens going forward. The budget before the council provides the ability to the city to continue to provide top quality, cost-efficient services to our community. We have also approached this budget with a multi-year outlook. The budget looks to the long term in stabilizing the significant cost of pensions, initiates a strategy to address OPEB liabilities. We are also continuing to make necessary and vital investments to upgrade and modernize our facilities and equipment and to keep pace with evolving technology. I would like to thank our entire staff for the diligence and efforts in preparing sound department budget requests. In addition, and in particular, the administration has greatly benefited from the valuable knowledge, talent, and professionalism of Finance Director Peter Schaefer and Acting Chief of Staff Bruce Kaiser, whose combined experience in public finance and budgeting exceeds 90 years. They, along with the department heads, will be presenting this budget and will answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Picozzi. Okay, at this time, we will start with the revenue. This is on page 59 of the budget documents. You can also follow this online. If you go on the City Council website, you can see the documents. The budget documents, as well as the City of Warwick's website. I believe the finance director, Mr. Schaefer, has a few words, and then we will open up to questions. And please let the record show that Councilman Ricks is in attendance. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just I would say that the revenue estimates this year are more aggressive than they've been the last 2 years. If you go to the fiscal year 22 audit, or you look at our expected revenues in 23 in this budget, we've done better than what was budgeted for a couple of years now. Part of that was we were dealing with the pandemic, the midst of the pandemic at that time. But and the fact of the matter is municipal employees are conservative people. So I'm dealing with directors of different departments, and they take as conservative of a view on estimates as possible. So I, working with them, there have been some increases beyond what they were originally comfortable with. I would note one area, we're clearly going to collect more on interest penalties on taxes than we contemplated. We thought it was going to be low because of the elimination of the car tax. It's coming in higher. But I'm still comfortable with the combined number of the property tax collections, which we're using a higher rate once of 99.5%, once again, because there's no car tax, and that's where the area really was. But I'm comfortable in both years combining interest penalties and collection rate to the total number that's in this budget. So there are other, we have people here on certain categories that will be responsive to any questions you have.
Thank you, Director. So we're on the revenue part of the budget here. One of the things I'd like for you to highlight, Director, is new revenue that is coming into the city of Warwick in form of the cannabis tax. This is on page 62, account 03321. Can you just speak to that? This is because of a new law and everything. Right. This is a new revenue coming to the city of Warwick.
Yes, and the state is paying. It became law December 1st. They make a payment. The state makes a payment based upon our 3% share once every 3 months. We received $128,000 for the period December 1st through February 28th. But the second facility didn't open until March. So we're comfortable in the estimates here of
$900,000.
$400,000 in the current year. So that's a new item this year. That's the number that I forgot. Mm-hmm. And $900,000 next year, based upon continuing to have two licensed facilities selling recreational cannabis.
Thank you. And the other question that I have is, can you talk about the airports, their payments, their in lieu of taxes? I believe that's item 033277.
I thought you were going to be asking me about the other ones, which are flexible relative to economic activity, which is the parking surcharge and the rental car. And you'll notice that we have pretty significant increases. Parking surcharge, last year we collected $900,000. We're estimating $1.2 million this year, $1.3 million next year, we're also seeing a good increase in the rental car surcharge. Those are the two that we really
that we have some control on. Over.
Yes,
correct. That was what the point I was to make is that yeah. Those things that we have some, you know, when the airport expands, we receive some additional things, but that payment in lieu of taxes, the airport's been pretty steady for a number of years here. So I don't know, my colleagues and I may want to.
I think that amount is statutory. So that's.
Yes, exactly. So I just like to highlight that as well. Any questions on the revenue budget for members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would like to request that the finance director explain that we have presented on our desk this evening and how they relate to the budget that we received in our budget package. There's four pages here, and I see that there's some pretty significant changes in some of the line items, and I think we should all have an explanation as to what they mean and how it occurred.
I missed his microphone cut. Councilman's microphone cut off. I missed the first part of it.
I'm sorry. What I'm asking for is an explanation about these four pages of documents that we found on our desks when we got here today. It appears as though at least one or two of them contain corrections to the original budget that we received the week before last. And I think everyone should have an understanding for these shifts in numbers, some of them $1 million plus.
All right. There are no changes in the bottom line from what you originally received a week ago and from what was advertised in the background. In the printing process, there were some rows deleted, and the bottom line for each section, executive and administration or whatever, it remains the same. Just the row, a couple of rows have been deleted in sections. So those pages are have been corrected with the right numbers in there. The totals haven't changed at all. There was an error in the roll-up on table three, which is, that's the really the only, there were certain things that were categorized something other than personnel. The bottom line has not changed. It was the roll-up on the components of that. But the bottom line numbers have not changed. They're consistent with the thing that really happened was, if you look at the last section of the budget, it's called employee benefits. And the original table had all of the employee benefits, that category listed as personnel. But there are some things in that last section that are not employee benefits. Principally, our payment of liability insurance, postage costs, which are not significant, council claims that got rolled into the personnel category. They've been moved where they should be. But the bottom line remains the same. It was just a classification that was an error.
So, with all due respect, the bottom line, as you say, didn't change, but how we evaluate the numbers leading to the bottom line did change. And it does make a difference to me when we're comparing, as an example, fiscal year 2022 actual budget in the documents we received of $129,829,163. And then today we have on our desk a document that says the fiscal year 2022, this is for personnel services, by the way, is actually $126,762,079. That's a significant difference. And how each and every one of us interpret these numbers and how we relate to them as they impact the bottom line to the taxpayers probably varies from person to person. But I guess my question is, why weren't we sent this earlier as opposed to just seeing it here tonight?
Well, it was the full document was posted on the website Friday afternoon. So with the corrections. And really, it's only one correction. There were some rows deleted on some other pages. And the bottom line, that there is no change to any individual division or department. It was just on the roll-up of the classification of personnel, operating expenses, et cetera. And it was available online at approximately 4 o'clock Friday.
Mr. Schaefer, as an elected official, I don't feel that I need to be held to the task of chasing this information down online or at the state. My question is, why wasn't this information provided to us, you said on Friday? Why wasn't it provided to us, these nine elected officials, on Friday?
Well, it was provided to the council president and your clerk at that time.
Wasn't provided to me, and I didn't see it until this document right here this evening. So
I would have liked to get it to you earlier. That's correct.
Who is responsible for putting together this budget as we received it?
Me.
You.
In assisting the mayor preparing the budget. That's what the charter says.
Is there anyone who proofreads this? Is there anyone who double checks the numbers in the additions?
Well, I would say yes. And the bottom line in every case was correct. There's a process we go through where we transition from spreadsheet format to a PDF type format to give you a clearer presentation. And that's where the error was made, on all but table three, where there was a error. You know, people come, people go. We have new people working on things. We try to do the best we can. All I can say is the bottom line has not changed. In any division or department, there was an error in the roll-up.
So are there other errors in this budget that we should be aware of, or do we just go from department to department?
Not that I'm aware. I'm very comfortable.
Okay. You're very comfortable with it.
Yes.
Okay. So my concern is not so much with the revenue. My concern is with the spending. Mr. President, will you allow anyone on the council a few moments for opening statements regarding this budget before we proceed on with each department?
On the finishing process on Thursday, you will have that opportunity. It was not posted, therefore, we got to stick to revenue at this time.
Okay. So we can get it posted for the final meeting for comments from each of us on the city council.
Before we call a vote, people will be able to make, council members will be able to make comments.
Okay. Well, I think that the change in these numbers definitely has an impact on how at least I interpret the bottom line. And I guess we'll just have to go through department and see where we get. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other members of the council have any questions on the revenue budget? Are there any questions from members of the public on the revenue budget? Oh, I'm sorry, Councilman Ricks.
Pardon my hand going up late. So there are a few items here that I want to just go over quickly. So obviously the biggest number is the collection rate. I see that it is set at 99.5% as it was in the previous year.
Excuse me, it was 90%. That's at 99%. I mentioned that changes. We've moved it up to 99.5% because of the elimination of the car tax. That was the area where we had the most serious problem in collections.
Right. Pardon me, I thought that I had said 99.5%. And that is what shows up in the packet.
But the budget you approved last year at this time had a 99%. That's before we knew the car tax was going to be eliminated. That happened 2 weeks after we passed this budget.
Oh, okay, I follow. So it does appear that for the year that's wrapping up, that we will meet that 99.5%, I take it?
Including both that and our interest on past due taxes, yes.
There are some other items here. For example, I see that for the projection for this fiscal year that's closing, the amount of $4 million in the sale of city property, which is a different line item from the sale of city real estate, but really it's my understanding that it's the same thing. The $4 million is from the sale of city real estate. I see that the next column over shows $1,899,000 and change collected from year to date through March 31st. So it does appear that the remaining $2.1 million will be collected before the end of this fiscal year to reach that $4 million, I take it?
Yes, and I'd want the planning director to respond to.
Councilman, from what I was able to hear, that would be accurate.
Director, can you just identify yourself for the record?
Sorry, Tom Kravitz, City Planning Director.
Thank you. And I take it that $2.5 million for sale of properties in this coming fiscal year, that would not include any properties that have already been sold, but instead would be properties that are currently on the market?
Right. So Aldrich and potentially the school admin site.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. Let's see. My next question just had to do more generally with the projections on some items such as recording fees and building permit fees. So I see that the year to date on recording fees and building permit fees, well, not so much the building permit fees, which looking at it on a quarter by quarter basis, the building permit fees appear to be in line with the projection. So up through March 31st, $892,000 received, and at the end of this current fiscal year, $1.3 million being projected. But the recording fees up through March 31st totaled $490,000. The revised budget was initially forecasting $1.1 million and is now projected at $750,000. Does it appear that we are on track with the new projection of $750,000 for recording fees?
Yes, I would say so. Obviously, there's been both real estate transfer tax and recording fees. The volume of activity, partly because of the sales process that's going on, but also no one's refinancing any longer. So we've definitely seen a deterioration of that. I disclosed that in January when I did, or February when I did. I've been surprised. We're still comfortable with that. I would say this, that I'm surprised at how well, and I've got updated data that the building official just gave me last week. Through April, he's permitted $109.9 million of building activity. The same period last year was $105.4 million. So we're a little bit ahead of where we were last year. Even with the increase in interest rates, and I'm very comfortable we're there on building permit, recording fees, and real estate transfer tax. There's clearly been some moderation.
Yes, I'm also more comfortable with this number. Obviously, no one can be certain of whether or not the city is going to hit that number. A lot depends on the broader economy, but I do recall last year that I was raising concerns when it came to a projection of receiving $1.1 million. And given the state of the economy, where a lot of people are projecting that the real estate market will head in the next year. I think that $750,000 is probably a lot more realistic. I also generally would expect that recording fees, building permit fees, and some of the other smaller fees, such as the smoke detector fees, are generally tend to be correlated. And so I do see that the smoke detector fees, for example, are projected at a lower rate than either the fiscal year 21, 22, and the revised fiscal year 23 budgets. So reviewing these and hearing the explanation on the 99.5% collection rate, I do think that the revenue budget here is realistic. I think that the one point of concern would be that if there may be reforms to certain exemptions, that could also potentially have some impact on the budget. But it is good to see these numbers that we're working with. There's it looks like these numbers are realistic. Thank you.
Any questions from members of the public? Hold on 1 second, Councilman. Any questions from members of the public on the revenue budget or the revenue projections? Councilman Gephardt.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Schaefer. The one area I had a question that hasn't been asked. If we flip to the rescue service fees, so our projected for this year is 4 million, proposed in 2024, 4.2.
Yes, I would say it's aggressive, but we index based upon reimbursement rates each year. When we get into the fire department, they're planning to add additional rescue, and that really shouldn't add, but it may add something to it. So that's where that came from.
Okay. I know it's been a number of years since we reviewed the what we seek for reimbursement on those. This is probably not the appropriate time to docket that, but to shore up this number, would you recommend we take a look at those? We haven't visited them in a number of years.
I'd want Lynn to talk about that. I think we do index based upon a Medicare reimbursement rate.
Lynn Prager, City Treasurer. I think it was 3 years ago Councilman Lattiser had proposed legislation that ties it to the Medicare rate, but we can look it over again if you want. Wouldn't hurt.
Proposed? I thought we set it to fixed amounts.
It passed. We did.
So it's variable tied to the reimbursement rate?
I think it warrants review. Okay. All right. For sure.
Okay. Great. That was just a material increase and wanted to make sure that number was secure. But aside from that,
there's been a huge increase in runs.
Yeah. Okay. Well, great. Thank you.
Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. If I may, to go to Councilman Gebsot's question, we had passed an ordinance increasing the rescue fees to the out of city rescue runs, as well as the fees were also being paid by the insurance companies. And the reason that happened is because through some research and some assistance from one of my constituents, it was discovered that we were charging far less than our surrounding communities. And those rates were adjusted up to fall in line with the other communities. The question I have to Mr. Schaefer is, What would be the commercial rate, or what effect would it would have on the commercial rate if we reduced the commercial rate by 1%? How would that impact the businesses?
I'm not.
Well, we recently just changed the formula on, you know, how that was done. So the question I'm asking is, if we were to lower that rate to commercial, what impact would that have on the businesses?
Well, I'm not qualified to speak to that. What I would want Neil to speak to what the relationship is between the residential and commercial rate as pursuant to the resolution that you passed a month or so ago, and which is on the calendar, floor calendar, Thursday, on the relationship of the residential and commercial rate. I can't speak to what it means to businesses.
Okay, so your suggestion is wait until the tax assessor's department comes up and ask them.
And you can ask him now, or you can ask him when the tax assessor
department comes up. I can wait.
All right.
I can wait. All right, I'll hold questions on that. I just assume that if there was a shift, that it would have an impact on revenue as well. But we'll wait. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Sinapi.
For line item 47-949, I just wanted to know why it was getting zeroed out.
What's the... I don't remember all the account numbers.
That's senior center fees.
Just give me 1 minute to take a look at it.
We're looking on page 61 of the revenue budget.
Yeah. But if you're looking at human services program fees, I mean, it was $1,170 this year. Most of these small ones were just relying on what the Department of the Division of Human Services reports to us as to their estimate. So it may have been that they charge certain fees for certain activities that they're no longer charging anymore, but I can't give you a direct answer. We just depended upon that kind of thing, the estimate from the department.
Any other additional questions from members of the council? Any additional questions from members of the public on the revenue? Okay, hearing none, we will now move to the executive budget. That can be found on page 9.
Thank you, Council President Bruce Kaiser, Acting Chief of Staff. The executive budget is increased here primarily in the area of salaries, which reflect a 2.75% increase, which is the increase that's been agreed to for all non-union employees. As in prior year, we are splitting the salary of the media coordinator between tourism and culture development, 15% in tourism and cultural development, and 85% in the executive office. Beyond that, we have an increase in the supplies as well as office equipment. We're looking at to purchase a new copier. That's reflective of approximately $1,000 increase per assistance from the MIS department. As you know, through by charter, the mayor's salary is fixed at $100,000, so there's no increase there.
So we can't cut the mayor's salary? And I apologize, this is found on page 11. Any questions from members of the council on the executive budget? Councilman Foley.
Thank you. At this time, how many open positions in the executive administrative segment are there?
Well, as you know, with the departure of our prior chief of staff, Susan, mayor had reshuffled. So I'm serving as acting chief of staff presently, and we had elevated Aaron McAsee to deputy chief from executive aide. That staffing the staffing plan that was budgeted in the current year with an executive aide and a chief of staff is the plan that we have budgeted for next year. The intention is that I'm going to, being that I'm acting, I'm stepping back after the first week of June to my role as economic development director, and Aaron's going to be stepping into the chief of staff position. The executive aide position will be open at that time. The mayor is going to determine throughout the course of the year whether additional staffing is necessary at that time. So we're in a state of flux at the present time, and that'll change shortly.
Thank you.
Any other members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you. Hi, Chief.
Hello.
So, Chief, I need a little clarity, and we'll start with your line item. So, last year, your line item was $115,000. This year, it's showing $121,413, which exceeds the 2.75 by about $6,000. I'm curious what the reason is for that.
The media coordinator's position was under budgeted in the budget last year. I believe that was discussed during the course of the hearings that that salary was incorrect as presented. So the actual salary is 83,000 and change, and the new salary is $87,683. So there is a 2.75% increase on top of the salary that was paid during the current fiscal year for media coordinator.
Now I'm totally confused, because what I'm looking at is a job code description 339 showing a salary of $121,413.
Oh, okay. You're looking at chief staff.
Last year, that same job code 339 was showing $115,000. That $121,000 far exceeds a 2.75% increase. And the question I'm asking is, why?
I don't have the personnel budget from FY23 with me, but I believe it was $118,000 was Susan's salary.
Well, the personnel budget that I'm looking at for 2021-2022, found on page one, says chief of staff, $115,000.
Councilman Lattiser, I've just been informed that you might be looking at the 21-22 fiscal year as opposed to 22-23.
Okay, yes, you're correct. Also, on page 33, the Director of Economic Development at $78,337, is that also part of your salary?
Is that part of my salary?
Yes.
Yes. So I'll be stepping just into that role exclusively. Well, actually, in a few weeks, but for the fiscal 24 budget, that's the salary that's budgeted.
So you'll be going into that role of $78,337.
Yes.
And right now, at least from the communications I've received, we have a deputy director or deputy chief of staff. Where is that showing in this budget?
As I indicated, the staffing plan for FY24 will revert to the staffing plan for adopted in the FY23 budget of a chief of staff, no deputy chief of staff. The deputy and the acting chief, as I am right now, was in an interim arrangement following the departure of our chief back in March to take us through the remainder of this fiscal year. Going forward, following my taking on my role as economic development director in June, Aaron will be elevated to the chief of staff position, and the deputy position will, which has just been a temporary role, will be eliminated. We will retain the executive aide slot that was part of the staffing plan in the FY23 budget.
So why doesn't that position show in this current budget?
The deputy chief of staff position.
Why isn't there a line item put in here right now for deputy chief of staff?
For the FY23? Because that was a...
For this current budget. So you're saying that that's going to go away, right?
That's going to go away entirely, okay. Yes. It was a temporary promotion to address the staffing change that occurred as a result of the of the departure of our chief of staff. I'm doing dual roles presently as acting chief and economic development director. Aaron assists me as the deputy. When I move back to economic development director entirely, he will fulfill the duties of the chief entirely, and there will be no deputy.
So the executive aide salary for this current year is $51,375. When this promotion was given to deputy chief of staff, was there a salary increase that went along with that?
Yes.
And what was that increase?
It was from 51 to 75,000.
From 51 to 75. And where did the extra monies come from?
Well, I'm being paid, because I'm in a split, dual role, I'm being paid partly out of the tourism and economic development budget for my economic development role, and a portion out of the chief of staff's salary in the mayor's budget. The balance of the chief of staff salary we're utilizing to make the adjustment for the 2 months wherein Aaron has been in the deputy position. So we will not run a deficit in the mayor's office salary line item for the current year as a result of these changes.
So the two part-time reception clerks, last year they were at $22,266 for one person. This year we have two part-time receptionist clerk, and you're showing $27,619. How does that work out?
So during the course of this year, we brought on it's a five-day position for that. I shouldn't say obviously. It has been a five-day position to fulfill the receptionist duties. We have two persons that split that role, 3 days and 2 days. So we have two individuals that are working with us. We are increasing the hourly rate for those employees, with that executive aide position having, it's unfilled at the present time. We're presently increasing the duties of those two staff members to take on some of the scheduling duties, for example, and have increased the hourly rate to reflect that going forward.
So is that going to be an even split?
An even split?
Yeah, last year we had one person at the cost of $22,266. This year, you're going to have two people at a cost of $27,619. So that's what doesn't seem to make sense to me. You had last year, we had a part-time reception clerk for a salary of $22,266. This year, we're going to have two part-time reception clerks for a total of $27,619. How is there such a dramatic swing where one part-timer this current year is getting paid $22,000 and this year you're somehow getting two for $27,000?
For 5 days a week, it was $22,000. And how we have that split between two individuals is just how it breaks out.
Last year was one person.
Right, now it's two persons splitting that.
Splitting $27,619.
Right. There are the other part-time jobs.
Okay. But it was part-time last year at $22,266. That's my point. Okay.
Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public on the executive budget, page 11? Next up is legal budget, found on page 11. Are there any questions from members of the council on the legal budget on page 11? Are there any questions or comments from members of the public on the legal budget from page 11? Okay. Hearing none, we will move to city clerk. The city clerk's budget is found on page 12. The city clerk is here. Is there any questions on the city clerk's budget from members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you. Just bear with me for 1 minute. Yeah. So, to start off with, and this is going to seem like a picky thing, but it speaks to the accuracy of some of the things in this budget. And when I add up the lines, each line item, I come up with $527,300. What's shown here is $527,302. Now, I know $2 isn't, you know, a major thing, but it speaks to some of the other things that we're going to see as we move on. So the administrative council clerk at $43,179, that appears correct. The vault clerk seems to have an increase much higher than a 2.75%. And I'm looking for my document from last year. Is that the correct number?
Director? Councilman Lattiser. Hi. I promised Lynn that I would speak to this because she presented a correct personnel budget.
Excuse me, say that again.
Lynn presented to the to me and personnel the correct personnel budget. And there was a little bit of miscommunication between myself and personnel. And so all of these positions are union positions. And, you know, in the case of the vault clerk, we weren't aware that, or I wasn't aware that she, her years of service with the city do not qualify for longevity because she was not a union employee. So that's counted in here. The administrative clerk was actually on a leave, so her service date was a little off. And so you will notice a little back and forth in this department.
All right, just bear. So are you saying that the budget that we have in front of us for the city clerk that was provided to us is not the budget that was submitted by the city clerk?
I edited it per what my understanding from personnel was, yes. So, they're all by contract. They're all municipal contract.
Wait a minute. How does personnel have the opportunity or the right to change the budget request submitted by a department head? How does that occur? How does personnel have the right to do that? I don't think they do. So,
as a point of information, that has occurred before across multiple administrations without issue.
Where's that coming from?
Next to you.
Hello.
And so could you repeat that again?
As a point of information, it has occurred across multiple administrations without issue. It's done. And at times to correct things, and at other times it's done when the administration basically disagrees. In this case, it appears like it's been done to correct something.
Well, as a point of information, I think that we should be presented with the correct numbers. So in this case, the city clerk presented her budget or her budget requests. Changes were made to the budget she submitted. And as it turns out, at least one of those changes is wrong. So what I would like to ask is, Director Sean, as you're up there speaking to this, what are the correct numbers for each of these items? Because I'm also coming up with differences that seem to be over the 2.75%.
You would see that specifically with the vault clerk position. That was because we thought she had years of service and she did not.
I'm sorry, I can't understand what you're saying.
We thought that she had more years of service
right
than she actually has, but she was actually a part-time employee and not in the union, so she doesn't qualify. But we factored it in there because when we did the data dump, we saw that that date would qualify for her the longevity. I don't know the exact amount that she will get on July 1st off the top of my head, Steve.
Well, I think we need to know because that's going to change your bottom line. I mean, if this goes from 55,000 down to whatever, it's going to change the bottom line. So I think we should know what, in fact, that number is.
Do you have it?
Hey, Councilman Lattiser,
please identify yourself for the record and speak right into the microphone, please. And then I just want to let everybody know, we're going to stick to just this. We're not going to go over the whole way of how people get paid and different things like that. If the administration has some mistakes in this that they would like to correct, they can submit an amendment to us on Thursday, which has happened before. So we're not going to dive deep into how things get paid and everything like that. We're just specifically talking about the city clerk's budget at this time.
Well, excuse me, Mr. President. So that number of this particular item, and there are others, but this particular item is shown at 55,390. So speaking for myself, as I go through this budget and I start making my proposed amendments for this, I need to know what the starting number is. And right now, the starting number is not 55,390. So that's why it's important, at least to me, that we know what the starting number should be, because perhaps I'll look to make a cut on this that may not be necessary or may be necessary. So I'd like to know what that starting number is.
Director?
Stephen Rotondo, Personnel Director. The as Lynn mentioned, when we do the personnel actually creates the first personnel supplement, the one that goes out to the departments. We do a data dump, we sort it, and we do the calculations for longevity increments. And Lynn corrected it, but when finance was putting the final together, they looked at the original, not Lynn's. We calculate in those longevities. This person's a member of the municipal union, therefore is eligible for longevities. However, she only just recently joined the union. And so time spent as a part-time employee doesn't accrue to those longevity increments. So there is none at this point. We calculated 9.5, which would actually be the second implement. Her salary as of the July 1 should be $50,585. This is an outlier because this is a very rare circumstance. When we go through and proof this, every person who's a municipal a member of the Council 94 is eligible at some points in their career for longevity increments. And Councilman, I just point out, you say that some of these individuals aren't seeing the 2.75%. That has always been the case, because if you look at if a person, for example, gets their first longevity increment this year, you will see, in addition to the 2.75, the first longevity increment is 7.5%. So you'll see 7.5%, you'll see their last year's salary times 1.075, and then times 1.0275. So there'll be a number of people in here who you will see, a lot of individual classes that you'll see larger than a 2.75% increase.
So you're right. I have seen many of those. And at this time, I would like to suggest that every department head that comes before us, to save us some time and possibly my colleagues asking a lot of questions, if the department heads could identify any raise that goes beyond the contractual raise of 2.75%. Might save us a whole lot of time. But back to this particular era here. So last year in 2023, that position was $42,020. So can you explain the math to me how that rose to $50,585?
It was from the second step to the third step, in addition to longevities. When an employee goes into a position, they start at step one, and this is the bargaining unit, it's very consistent. They start at step one, unless they're being promoted and they're already at a, sometimes when people are promoted, they're getting already paid higher than the step one. But they go to step one, typically, at 6 months, if they pass probation, they go to the second step, and then they go to the third step 1 year after that. So this is a reflection. This is about the delta between, in this particular position, the delta between step two and step three is close to $7,000. That's part of the labor contract.
So that's a 20% raise. When you go from 42,000 to 50,000, that's pretty close to a 20% raise. So these steps that you're talking about, what are those formulas? You're going from $42,020 in 2023. Now we're going to move over into fiscal year 2024, and you're going up $8,565. How do those steps come up to the $50,585?
The pay schematic in the contract has been negotiated over years, so it's built into the contract that was ratified, 2 years ago. It's basically the same step table. The third step tends to be the highest. The delta between the first and second step, not so big. The third step tends to be the highest. And again, it's just whatever was probably negotiated 30 years ago, 40 years ago, with the across the board increases over time. So those are all the tables are in the contract.
I'm not talking 30 or 40 years ago. I'm talking last year, 42,000, this year, 50,000. You're talking two-step, three-step, contractual, 2.75, et cetera. All I'm asking for is how is the dollar breakdown that goes from 42 to 50,000?
Well, the 55 is not correct.
55 is not correct. We heard that. Yep.
So the difference between last year and this year, that difference between step two and step three, is a negotiated step increase. That's the short answer to that.
So you don't know the dollar amount then?
I'm not sure I understand that. Is there?
You have step two equals X. You have 2.75 equals X. And now you say we have step three, which is equal X. I'm just asking, what are the X's? How do we go from 42,000 to 50,000? It's a 20% increase.
It's built into the collective bargaining agreement. It's on the pay schematic. And if I had it in front of me, I could tell you exactly the difference between step one, step two, and step three. I don't have it in front of me.
Okay. Would you be able to send that to me tomorrow?
The collective bargaining agreement? Yes, yeah. I believe you not have it.
I don't want the bargaining agreement. I just want the math formula. I want the equation A plus B plus C equals D. That's all.
I don't know. I don't understand that question. It's a schematic. It's in the contract.
But you have to apply, or someone in your department has to apply a formula to go from $42,020. You have a 2.75% contractual increase. That equals X. Then you have step two. That equals this. Then you have step three. That equals that. Because this conversation conceivably could take place, I don't know, a couple dozen times through this budget from some of the numbers that I ran. I'm just trying to get my arms wrapped around the mathematical formula. We already know that there was an error made. We understand that. Now I'm trying to make certain that the formulas to get to 50,585 were the correct math problems.
I can show you the steps.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I'm asking. If you can send me that tomorrow, that'd be fine.
Sure.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any other questions from members of the council?
Excuse me, Mr. President.
I think
it would be appropriate that we have an opportunity to hear from the city clerk on her own budget.
Councilman, your time is up. Are there any additional questions
Wonderful.
From members of the council?
It's going to be an interesting evening.
Are there any additional questions from members of the public on the city clerk's budget? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to the probate court, which is on page 12. Any questions from members of the council on the probate court's budget? Page 12. Any questions from members of the public on the probate court? Any questions from members of the public? Okay, hearing none, we will move to the municipal court budget, which is also on page 12. Any questions from members of the council on the municipal court budget? Any questions from members of the public on the municipal court budget? Councilman Sanabi.
Just wanted to ask the source for the jump in the service contract line item 27-340.